Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
What do you say when you hear Jesus is coming again? Do you say amen, or like the world, do you say, so? So what? I mean, if you can judge a man not by what he says, but what he does, the world really doesn't care. Do you really care? How does it affect your life day by day? How does the fact that Jesus is coming again affect you? Perhaps it doesn't. You know, if I were to tell you that the governor was coming to your house, you might take a vacation. You might say, I'm not going to be there when he gets there. Or you might try to clean up the house. You know, spring cleaning that really extends to the exterior of the house, that you color all the blinds and you make sure everything is paint is not cracking. Perhaps you try to help yourself. You clean yourself up. You take a bath, even though it's not Friday. And you take a bath, and maybe you get your hair fixed or you get your hair cut. You put on clean clothes, the best you have. You try to convince the governor. You try to fool the governor into believing that this is the way you always live. Jesus is coming back to find out how well we have been obedient to his teachings. Oops. That gives us pause, doesn't it? Perhaps that's the reason the world says, I don't believe he's coming back. Or maybe they think, well, if he's coming back, he's not coming for me. I mean, he can't come back. I mean, after all, he's dead. He's buried. He can't come back. And why would he come back? If he came back, would he give me everything I want? No? What does it mean he's coming back? It's just a fairy tale. It's not real. Something else. Because if he comes back, I can't fool him with a smile. I can't fool him with a really good story. You see, I have no alibi. I have no excuse. Perhaps you're one of those who says, so what if he comes back? Maybe you're one who says, I can't get myself cleaned up without help. I need a lot of help to clean myself and my house up. Then, if you're one of those, this message is for you. Because Jesus wants you to know that he cares about you. He's coming back for you, ready or not. He's coming back. Are you ready or not? Let us go before him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you have promised that you're coming back. No matter what, you're on your way. You may come for some today. This may be the day that you come for all of us who are left here, and the great rapture of the church will take place. Perhaps you're coming back to a hospital or in a car seat where someone is about to die, or in a tub or a swimming pool. This is their last day. Perhaps you're coming back for them today. Perhaps you're coming back for one of us today. Father, it is our desire to be ready for your coming, to be prepared for your coming, not to spend it in denial, not to spend our time saying, oh, well, maybe in 100 years, well after I've gone. May we each have a sense of urgency today to be holy as the Father is holy, to do those things you told us to do today. Let us not put them away and hide from them. Let us do the things you've called us to do today while there is still light. May we do them with the might of Jesus Christ who strengthens us. May we rise up and be the people that you've called us to be. For we ask these things, knowing that you hear our prayer. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Today, if you would open your Bibles with me to John 14:1. I'm just going to read the first three verses. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, the fact that Jesus is coming back is good news. It's good news. I know that there may be a time in your life when you face disastrous news. That's how these first hearers of Jesus' words felt. They had heard in chapter 13 how one they had trusted. They had really trusted this other disciple. They had even given all their money to him. And you don't give your money to somebody unless you trust them. But they had given that money to someone who would betray Jesus. They didn't know that it was him. Because when asked, they said, "Is it I? Will I betray you? Is it I, Lord? Who will betray you?" Judas betrayed them. He was one whose spirit still lives very much today. He's still in the churches. He's still all over the place. That was something that they heard. They also heard that Jesus, their leader, their rabbi, their Lord, was leaving them. Oh, they were horrified by that news. He's going to leave us alone. And they found out that Peter was going to reject Jesus 3 times before the cock crows. He was going to simply tell others lies about knowing Jesus. And he was one that they looked up to. So they had heard that Judas was going to defect, that Christ was going to depart, that Peter was going to deny. And yet Jesus is saying, let not your hearts be troubled. You see, Jesus' words are greater than the circumstances in our life. Whatever happens, Jesus' promises are always there. And if you believe in those, you believe that God can do anything and will do anything and loves you and cares for you and will only bring the best things for you. He knows you. He knows what you need. So Jesus' words are greater than the circumstances in your life. You may think of yourself as old or weak or frail or young and I fall around because I'm just stupid. No. You are God's child. And if you follow Him, there is no place you go where you cannot serve Him as He wants you to serve Him. Let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus simply wants us to trust Him, to love Him, and to believe that His Word is true. Simply that and nothing greater. He says in verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions." This is a word that we use in Hebrew. But it can mean a room. Jesus is going to build a room for you. Sort of an irony that Jesus says, "In my Father's house there are many rooms." If it were not so, I would have told you. You see, Jesus is telling them, "I would have told you if there only a limited number of you could come." Have you ever gone to a hotel and found out that there were no vacancies? It's sort of an irony that Jesus, when He was born, there was no room for Him at the inn. Perhaps there's a section in your life when there is no room for Him. We live in a culture which says there's no room for Jesus in the classroom. There's no room for Jesus in the courtroom. There's no room for Jesus anywhere. You have to get off our property. Maybe you stand on the sidewalks because they're public. But that's as close as you can get, because there's no room at the inn. But here's what Jesus says. Jesus promises that you'll never face a no vacancy sign. Because He goes, He says, "I'm going to make sure there's always room for you. I'm going to make sure that where I am, those of you who love me, who keep my commandments, you will be with me. Because we are one as the Father and the Son are one." Going to make sure there is room for you. In verse 23, Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." This is another word that can be translated rooms. We'll room with you. Have you ever had a roommate? When I was in college in the dorms, they had a roommate with me. I had a roommate. And someday, God, who comes into your life, is going to ask you to come into His. Your roommate today, and He's going to be your roommate later, but you're going to transfer from this old building, this body, which crumbles into dust, into a forever dwelling, because Jesus is coming again. Jesus says, "We will come." The "we" consists of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I know some people say, well, because we worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we worship not one God, but three. That's baloney. That is absolute baloney. God Himself is going to move into our lives. And through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, that's how we get to heaven. His death, burial, and resurrection opens for each and every one of us the realm of eternal life. It is the key that opens up the door, and Jesus says, "I am the door. No one comes to the Father except by me. I am the door. I am the gateway. These are the keys to the kingdom." These are the keys. The keys of Jesus given to you. He promises that since He suffered for you, it is inconceivable He will not come prepared a place for you, and that you will not, He will not come again. He says in verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, I want you to think about this. Jesus went to the cross for you. He bore all of God's wrath for you. He bore not only the suffering that we all know about so well, but He bore something even greater to Him. He bore the absence of God. He cries out from the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you abandoned me? Why? You see, He was without God in His life. Not only that, but the punishment of God, the righteous judgment of God for all of our sins, fell on Jesus. And He bore all of that. It's inconceivable that having done all of that for you, that He would not prepare a place for you, that where He was, you would be as well, because His sufferings paid the price for your entrance. He made the reservation in advance for all of us. Jesus did that. Jesus promises that He will come again. Remember now that when He's saying this, they have just heard that Judas would betray Him, that Peter would deny Him, that Jesus was going to leave them alone. It seemed like their whole world was falling apart. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to the place where you thought the whole world is just slipping away? They must have felt that way. Jesus was going to prepare a place for them. And so it wasn't true that their world was crumbling around them, because His promises, again, were greater than their circumstances. He was going to build something. He who created everything. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And through Him all things were created. And nothing was created that was not created by Him. He is the Creator. He has been given that job. And so when He says that He's going to build you a room, you can take it to the bank. Now, there are two ways that believers can go to be with Christ. One, you can die before Christ returns, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We know that when that's the facts. That's what's happening in the hospitals today. That's what's happening everywhere today. That people are dying and they're going off to either be with the Lord or not. The thief on the cross, the good thief, said, remember me when you get to your kingdom. Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. It's a done deal. God is going to come back that way. Or He's going to come back and snatch you up as He was snatched up at the ascension, and you're going to go up in the clouds with Him. You're going to go into the presence of God. He's going to come back one way or the other for every one of us. Christ is going to bring every believer into the presence of God. You know, when the Roman army came back, and it was touched on in one of the songs that was sung this morning, when the king is coming. You see, when the Roman army came back to Rome and they were celebrating a victory, they knew that they wanted not just the military to be applauded, but that every citizen of Rome also got to be a part of the victory. And so the army would camp outside the city gates. And then the citizens, everyone, was invited out of the city gates to be at the encampment of the military while the preparations were being made, so that they could follow the military in to all the pomp and circumstance, to all the celebrations, that they would feel a part of everything that was happening that day. That is the way that Jesus leads us home to be with God. We get to see in that cloud of witnesses every knee bow and every tongue confess. Every tongue that confesses Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father will be taken up into the presence of God. And everyone who confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, because they cannot deny it at that point, their senses overwhelm them, but they say it not out of love, but out of rejection, and they reap what they have sown. They are forever rejected from the Lord. You know, good news of the last day, the citizens of the kingdom will be called out to join the king in preparation for his triumphant entry. You know, oftentimes we visit at the hospital or we see someone who's very, very old or sick or whatever. And we might say quietly as we're exiting the room, that person doesn't have very long. Have you ever done that? Have you ever given up on someone before God has? I see it all the time. As a chaplain, I saw it all the time. Every time I went out, there was a sense of, well, they're gone. Even though 80% of the people that I went to were not churched, did not know Jesus Christ, were not prepared. They tried to make an excuse. But you see, that is not true for those of us who love the Lord. Because we are going to be with Him. We are going to go near to eternity now and into eternity then. I do not know how long the Lord will tarry before He comes. Nor do I know how long He will allow me to remain on this earth. But that doesn't matter to me, and it didn't matter to the disciples, because they believed Jesus when He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." We should not be troubled because Jesus is coming again. His promise is that He is coming. He is coming. It's absolutely certain. Jesus is coming again, and we must grasp it if we're going to live the Christian life in the kind of victory that He wants us to have, and the kind of abundance that He wants to give us. We have to grasp hold of His promises and cling to them. We have to know that they're for us. But it does make a difference. If you believe that He's coming back or not, if your answer is "so what," and your attitude is like many of us who seem to be in denial about eternal punishment, separation from God, then that's what you will reap. My wife and I recently watched an old movie. We watched it on television. It was starring Gregory Peck. It was called On the Beach. You may never have seen this movie, but it was very popular at the time it was made. It seems that by accident, someone had started a war, nuclear war. And the radiation sickness had spread all over the world and killed the world's population, all except for a handful who had fled down to Australia. And they were waiting for the effects to get to them. It was a very puzzling and heart-rending film to consider that these people were waiting for death. Each one was doing so in their own way. But there was a religious revival by the Salvation Army, I suspect, and they had tambourines and they were playing, and the first time you saw them, they had a huge crowd and a banner that said, "Time is short, but there is still time, brother." The next time, there are very much fewer people there because many have died. The banner is still waving. There is still time, brother. At the end of the film, the streets are abandoned. Everybody has perished. But the banner is still up, and it still says, "There is still time, brother. There is still time. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to see if we have done the things He called us to do. I don't want Him to come back and not say to me, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.' I want all the praises and adoration and glory that I can receive in reflecting His, so that I know that I have done the job He wanted me to do. There's still time, brother, but time is running out." Yes, as we talked earlier today in the hallway, our culture seems to be falling apart all around us, and yet that is the way Jesus came into the world, with the culture falling apart. That is the way He sent His disciples out into the world, into a world that had their household gods, and they had one thing after another where they denied Jesus Christ. Nothing has changed. But there is time, while we sit here, even today, time has yet to run out. But when Jesus comes back for you because you die, or because He is coming back in the clouds as you saw Him go, that time is nearer than it was when He said these words. We need to understand that today is the day of your salvation, because Jesus is coming back. Don't be one that says, "Oops." Don't be one that tries to make an excuse. Be one that stands up and says, "I have run the race. I have kept my course. I've done everything I knew to do. I cast myself on the mercy of Jesus Christ and the blood He shed for me."
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.